We're looking for a sweet spirit, and we are currently in the first section of this psalm, which is divided into two sections. This part is the song, and it is devotional. And we spoke to the difficulty of verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And how difficult that might be, I wonder if any of us were successful this past week. And if not, then why not try to be this week? You can do that. I can do that. It's just a matter of we've got to put ourselves to that. And also, if any of you were not here last week, you didn't hear the live stream, and you haven't picked it up on the internet, I would just encourage you to do so because the two go together, and I don't want to spend a lot of time in 1 through 6. So, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So, looking back over this awful experience from the beginning where we started and the backdrop of what he had done, I think David realized some things and wrote them into the conclusion of this song section. And so here in verse 7 is the first thing he realized, and that is, number one, that God protects. And so before you go, we get into this, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's look here in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, like it or not, admit it or not, we are in spiritual warfare. Now, if you know somebody's at war against you, do you lay down and just say, okay, run over me? Or do you fight back? You need to fight back. You cannot see any of these that are mentioned there. They're invisible. It's spiritual. And there's a lot of them. And they're not out for your good. There's not one. There's no such thing as white witches and black witches. And, oh, white witches, they're good witches. No, there are no good witches. Who fed you that line? Probably Disney. And you know what they stand for. So when we come back to here, this verse, the angel of the Lord. Now I believe it's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what form did he take? What say did the angel of the Lord. So it appears that it would be in the form of an angel. But if you go back here to Luke 24 and then Acts 1. Luke 24, verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, who were those two men? They were angels. What did they look like? They looked like two men. Were they two men? No, they were angels. Right, Acts chapter 1. And look down here in verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them. Sorry, by them in white apparel. All right, these are angels as well. What do they look like? They look like men. So we know that the angelic beings at various times also take on human form. And here the Lord Jesus Christ takes on the form, since it says that the angel of the Lord is an angel. So in Psalms, this is only mentioned in this chapter and chapter 35, three times in all the book of Psalms. Here, he's protecting the saint. He's protecting David. In 35, he's pursuing sinners. So, let me ask you a question. Does Christ ever appear in the New Testament as the angel of the Lord? There is an occasion where it says the angel of the Lord, and in Acts chapter 12, but I'm not sure that that's the same thing, even though it's because I would just wonder to myself, my question to myself is, why would he? He's already come in the appearance of a man, and he's lived 33 and a half years. He's died, he's resurrected, and when he resurrected, he still had the appearance of a man. So I'm not sure about that, but I know what it says. So although there are countless hosts of hell and the wicked one, there are also great ranks of mighty angels of God drawn to preserve and protect you and me. I'm grateful for that. All right? So go down to verse 8, Psalm 34, verse 8. And we realize the second thing that David realized is that God provides. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. Sorry. For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, that they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. All right. These three verses is a call to experience what David experienced. Have you ever talked to somebody and you want them to experience what you've experienced? Of course you do. With the gospel, you want them to have what you have. But here, what is he wanting them to know? That God is good. We know from Romans 2:4 that the goodness of God leadeth mankind to repentance. So God is good. And man is benefited by putting his trust in him in how many situations? All situations. All right, verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, that they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, we're not told how the Lord took care of David, but we know he did. And David assures us that the Lord provides. In verse 9, do you notice something very strange? Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there's no one to them that fear him. Do you see what's happening there? Fear dispels fear. So how can that be? Well, there has to be two types of fear there. Human fear is gripping. It's slavery. It entraps you. God never gave us the spirit of fear when we got saved. So that fear is the one that the reverential trust dispels. So when you have the fear of the Lord, it dispels the fear that you have of man or anybody else. If you allow it to happen, again, you're in control a little bit here. So therefore, walk in his word, his promises, his laws, his prophecy. Have respect and reverence to his will. Have you ever known something is God's will and you regret and you hated it? You despised it, knowing that it's his will. Tremble to offend him and serve him while you may. You may not have tomorrow. You have taken advantage of what you have tonight, but we may not have it Sunday. The people that are watching may not have it. You know, they're doing what they can. Most of them, maybe not all. So a life that is given to faith will find food in everything. I mean everything. Why? Because it's founded upon faith. I'm grateful for what the Lord gives me, little things and big things. Is there anything that he did not give me that I can have my own self? I did that. Because if you do, then he doesn't get the glory, you get the glory. So, and we're here to give him the glory. So the front part of the psalm is full of praise. The song, it's all praise. The second part is the message, and it's primarily doctrinal. So there's an introduction here in verse 11. Coming children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So here's the summons. He gathers his men around him, and he's saying, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. That is something that you and I, every one of us who are saved, should be able to teach other people. If you have it, you should be able to teach it. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What were these people, these men? Well, these were men that loved him. They admired him. They would follow him off the face of the earth if it was flat, but it's not. What about us? We should feel the same way about the Lord. By the way, hold your place here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. There are a number of things that are in this section that are repeated in 1 Peter. Down here in verse 10. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon open unto you, their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. There are things that we'll look at here that are quoted there in Peter. Okay, verse 12 is the subject. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? So, who among them, who among us, doesn't desire to live out, I'd say, old age to some degree, and that does, or that doesn't want life with blessing? I would think we who are saved would desire that. God may not give it to us, but I think that we could desire that. And these were men that were cut off from their families, from their homes, and to live always looking over their shoulder. Where's Saul? Because Saul hunted them mercilessly. So this is the subject. So the actual message starts in verse 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Point number one, you take heed to your words. Pay attention. Be careful about what you say. And I think David is basically saying, let me tell you what I did at Gath and how I embarrassed myself and brought shame to the Lord. And I pretended to be sick when I wasn't sick in order to go against Israel, and they were so hateful toward me. That's what I did. And I'm ashamed of that, and I don't want you to do it. It's kind of like Proverbs. A lot of things in Proverbs Solomon went through so that you don't have to go through. And there are admonitions and warnings there. So take heed to your words. In verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Take heed to the way you walk. My troubles came to a head when I went to Gath. And in all likelihood, if he doesn't say it, he's thinking it, I wish I never got anywhere near that place. Are there any places you wish you never got around? Probably. He didn't pay any attention to the way he was walking. Are there not places a Christian should have gotten to go? Are there things a Christian should not do? Do you think that it's wise, the wise Christian, being a street person, can say, well, I experienced all these things, I learned these things, and come away and say, but it wasn't easy. It was hard. You think they would say that? Most people don't. They think, no, today I've got to learn everything by experience. No, you don't. You learn it by the Word. If the Lord doesn't want you to do it, you don't do it. Take heed to your Word. Say, and your world, your walk. Let's have, what's the most common today? The Internet. There are places you should not go on the Internet. There just are. It offers you all the rat poison that there is that's out there for you to look at, or you can use it for good, for God's glory. The choice is yours. David, in our day, could have said, you know what I did? I went into the dark web. What good is there in the dark web? Everything that's poison to the nth degree is in there. So take heed according to your walk. 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Take heed to your works. Does God hear what you say? Yes. Does he see what you do? Yes. Has he missed anything? No. Do you wish he missed something? Yes. I wish. Listen, this is a wonderful truth if you're obedient. And it is a miserable truth if you're disobedient. It really is. Verse 17. And this one is David's example. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. We need to learn from David's example. So why you know it's the Word of God. Would you write in a book and give it to other people and say, here, learn from my example? Probably not. His testimony was that he's sorry for what he did. And still the Lord delivered him, undeservedly so. Point is, get right with God, and he will see you through whatever goes on. Verse 20 is a messianic prophecy. We know that when the Lord hung on the cross, and they put the spikes in his hands and in his feet, none of them went through bone, because not one of the bones of him was ever broken. They went through the fleshly part of the wrist, and the feet as well. So, learn from his example. 21 and 22, here's the outcome. We're just flying along. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Let none of them that trust in him be desolate. All right, evil shall slay the wicked. The wicked are destroyed by themselves. They're self-destroyed. Self-destruction. And this one is really something. Hatred of the righteous. Are we a hated people today? Yes, we are. The world hated Christ, did it not? In John 15, 18, and 19, it said it's going to hate you too. Now, why would you love something that hates you? I never have figured that out, but many people do. And when you see what we're witnessing before our eyes or our ears, depending on what we do, there is a hatred in this country of our country. I almost got wrapped up in the protest movement back in the 60s. Not quite. I was dissatisfied with the government, only because I was with people that were dissatisfied with the government. And now, we have not dissatisfied, but hatred. Right, what's the alternative? The alternative is the Antichrist. Is it not? I mean, somebody's going to have to run everything. And it just seems like everything is going that direction. So the illustration that I picked up from a preacher, he gave when he was observing What do you call a bunch of rabbits? Is it a clutch? I don't know. It's a bunch of rabbits. lots of them. And they were running all over the place, not just having a great time, but they were running from some strange brown creature which was following them very tediously. It wasn't a turtle, but very, very, you know, deliberately. Well, the man found out that the creature was a weasel and read that it was an animal that moved very slowly, very deliberately, and had an insatiable thirst for blood. And it would persistently follow the scent and pick out one and never lose the scent of that one he picked out. And apparently he picked out a rabbit. And I guess it would take what we would call a long time, not like a bobcat or something where they come in and you grab it really quick. So the rabbit doesn't necessarily know who he's after. And so they're running and they're going this way and that way. Do they know somebody's after them? Probably who it is. And all of them are acting the same way, trying to find little holes, something that they can hide. And the weasel passes right by them, except for one. And the chase goes on. And the weasel never allows himself to be turned aside. He's not interested in all the other ones. He's interested in that one. And he continues to move, and the rabbit is going this way and that way. He's just trying to find someplace, and he gets tired. When we used to, if you've never been to a dog track, they put a form of a rabbit on a pole, and the gates are open, and the dogs all see the rabbit, and they all take off after the rabbit. There was another thing on my mind, but it went out away. So anyway, he keeps going, and finally he gets tired, and he goes and he sits in the high grass, and it's real quiet. But the weasel is coming along slowly, ever so slowly, and then it's over. Evil is God's weasel. Evil is God's weasel on the trail of the wicked. Nothing but the grace of God is going to turn it aside. We look and we think we want God to be more like, you know, the leopard, the panther, something with swift speed. But he's moving. I think his long-sufferingness has a lot to do with that. But if there's no repentance and trust in Christ, he'll destroy the wicked. It's coming. And they can keep running and running, but eventually get tired. In a race, in the foot races, we were told, except for the people that are the elite, don't go off like a rabbit. He says, because you'll get to a place where you can't even run anymore. And it's true. I mean, unless you have 0% fat in your body, I mean, something is going to slow you down where you can't keep going, and you'll have to be walking, whereas those that pace themselves will pass you right by. I saw it time and time again. So redemption, both physical and spiritual, are available to all, and trusting him through all times brings great deliverance. The Lord is going to take care of the evil, isn't he? It's not necessarily our business. And we have to trust him to do that. And we don't need to fear. Well, we were in Baltimore, Linda and I, and I think all of us were, for the funeral of my stepmother. And Michael knew a preacher there in town. And we stayed with he and his wife and their four children downtown. Very downtown. The stadiums, professional stadiums, were not too far away. And the wife was from Wyoming. She had never been around situations like this, if you're familiar with Baltimore and downtown area. And so our bed was in the small living room, a very small living room. And there was a door about 2-3 feet away from the bed, and then the window, and the window had bars on it, thankfully, and the window was open because it was hot. I don't think there was air conditioning, and so we were laying down, and people were walking by, and I thought we were at a stadium. I mean, they were walking by, they're talking and yelling and screaming and cursing. And they're walking this way, and they're walking that way, and some of them just park themselves under the window. And they're, I mean, just profane as profane can be. And this went on and on, and it was kind of scary. And Linda couldn't sleep, and neither could I for a while. And then I made a conscious decision. I said, I'm rolling over, and I'm going to sleep. I said, I don't care what they do. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. If they're going to shoot us, who knows? It's not up to me. I just know what I'm going to do. And so I did it. And I went off, and I didn't wake up till the morning. I said, she finally fell asleep. We found out 4 people were shot that night. I never heard any gunshots. Normally when you get shot, you don't hear the gunshot either. So even though that's a small thing, trusting God is not ignorance. It's the place of safety and trusting Him for the outcome. And what did we really have to be scared of? The Lord had protected them. They walk around the streets with their 4 kids. They were small kids. And their church was a church that was very dysfunctional because the area was. And Steve, we were there when he preached the message, and he said, you know what? After he was done, this would have been a good message for a lot of the people that aren't here. And he says, I'm going to send the message to every one of them. And so he had the boldness to do things like that. But, you know, in the beginning, you're scared. And David, I think, he went through this. And I don't think he went through it just for himself. He went through it for us. That we can come away with this and see we can do the same thing. If we've made a mess of things, we can clean it up through Him. And He'll protect us. And, you know, He's saying it as it is. So Psalm 34 is a great psalm. I think the people that thought that he was crazy are crazy. But he wasn't. He was pretending. And he made a mess of things. And he cleaned it up, told the men, and off they went, trusting the Lord. You can't get it any better than that, really. So, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then Margaret's going to come and play 184. Did you know 184? Because if you don't know, okay, good. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the outcome of a mess that David made. He admitted it. Went to you, told his men, framed some of it into a song of praise, and moved on. A great lesson there for every one of us. We may not have made a mess of things. May just be having a hard time. We still can move on and make things right. Father, we are so grateful that you've given us your word. We talk about a sweet spirit. David could have been one of the angriest people there. Vengeful. But he wasn't. He knew he was at fault. And he brought it before you. Made it right. I'm grateful for every one of us who've been in the same condition. I'm grateful for if in the future we ever get in that position, at least we're armed with the truth of what to do. And I pray that we would. So be with us now as we conclude with this hymn. And your watch care over us for the rest of the week. We're glad to be a part of your body. We're glad that we can come together as brothers and sisters, hear your truth, digest your truth, and live out your truth, and then eventually give it out to others. Father, we're very well aware that there could be people watching that are not saved. There could be, by chance, somebody here not saved, both here or in the back room. I would hope not. But I do also ask that, as a result of being here this evening, they would see their great need for being saved because of their sin and understand why Christ came to seek them, to deliver them, to save them, that they can trust Him, that they can receive Him by faith as their Savior. And I pray that would happen here as well. So thank you for what you've done here and what you're going to do, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.